The whole book of the Bible actually recorded the interaction between man and God. And this interaction initiated by God himself. And he created the universe, created a human being. In the initial stage, he was very harmonious human being. So he was a loving father. And then because he was gracious, because human being failed to show reverence to him, disobey him. So that was the beginning of separation between man and God. So ever since from the Genesis, beginning of Genesis, until yesterday when we learned the book of Isaiah, we can see that any time when the human being become so obedient and show reverence to God, and they can start to enjoy a kind of harmonious, peaceful, and a gracious life. But any time when people enjoy a life in prosperity, then they just try to detach themselves from God and live an independent life and even worship an idol. And then they start to suffer. So there's no way we can live a life without God. Why? Because God is everywhere. God is above all. And God is what? Through all. And God is in all. Right? So you know, we cannot live a life without God. Now we come to the last part. Roman character number 4. In terms of how Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel, how do they show reverence God in their servitude, in your life, we all are very familiar with. In conclusion, they really respect God and fear God. So they have done a good work for God. That's the reason they were recorded in the Bible. Now, we go into the four gospel. The focus of four gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason Jesus Christ became human being, one of the reasons is he tried to show us an example how to behave like a human being, how to live a life, a meaningful, valuable life, like a human being. So this is the reason Jesus came to the world. So what kind of life is the most meaningful? Look into the life of Jesus. What kind of relation we should have with God? Look into the life of Jesus Christ. What should we really pursue after? Look into the life of the Lord Jesus. So he is a role model of our life. Now, let's see Jesus Christ's example. The most famous sentence that Jesus really feared God and showed respect and reverence to God is recorded in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. This was the prayer of Jesus Christ, right? Saying, Father, if it is your will, take up this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Take this cup away from me. Come and consider the bitter cup. Crucifixion, we mentioned before, crucifixion include three kind of suffering. What were three kind of suffering in Jesus' crucifixion? Anybody remember it? You try. Yes. Yes. Physical, mental, and spiritual suffering. Wow. And three of them come together at the same time. That's far beyond what a human being can bear. So in the most agony moment in his life, Jesus demonstrated how he submit himself to God. And this was a prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane, what is the meaning of Gethsemane? Gethsemane. You never heard about? They have an olive, right? The olive have to will produce an olive oil. And you have to put into, what do you call that? Presser or something. Some kind of instrument made by stone, a presser. You put olive inside and the heavy stone just crush the olive. So all the olive oil will come out. And throw away the residue, throw away the remaining stuff. Also, Gethsemane, a double meaning, right? Jesus Christ crushed himself, right? And the heavy pressure in Gethsemane pressed upon Jesus Christ. So his most beautiful essence, his love, his sacrifice, all expressed in Gethsemane, in the prayer. Don't go according to my will, but according to your will. So from here, we understand that Jesus Christ really respect God. Because even though he was, he dared not to suffer from the crucifixion, but he asked that your will be done. So this is a very, very great prayer set for us to follow. You know, when Jesus, before Jesus was born, the purpose of his life already been revealed to his father by angel. What was the purpose? According to Matthew chapter 1, Jesus, angel revealed the purpose of Jesus' life to his father. Matthew chapter 1. Right. He will deliver people from sin. So the whole life of Jesus Christ, right? Only one goal. Deliver people out of sin. Out of sin into his kingdom. So the first message of Jesus' ministry is what? The kingdom of God is at hand, right? It's near. And how can the kingdom of God fulfilled? The door has to be opened. Because the kingdom of God in the Garden of Eden has been closed and guarded by the flame of fire. You cannot go in. No. Now it has to be opened. How can the door be opened? Once our sin been resolved, then the door is open. So the key is how to resolve human being's sin. And the sin can be forgiven according to the law of God. In the Old Testament, you had to go through sacrifice, kill the animal. That was a prefiguration. Actually, animal sin can never forgive people's sin. Otherwise, the rich man, they can purchase thousands of cows. And you can commit sin thousands of times. Every time you commit adultery, you just kill one cow. Right? But human soul is far more valuable than the animal. So that's a peculiarization. So when Jesus came out to preach the gospel, they said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." Right? And he knew himself. He was the Lamb of God, ready to be slaughtered, so to shed the blood as a fountain for the forgiveness of people's sin. So in the last moment, he knew the moment is coming. Even though he was unwilling, but he still asked God, "Your will be fulfilled." And this is the best example how Jesus Christ honored God, showed reverence to God, submit himself to God's will. "Thy will be done, not my will." So what does that mean to us today? What does that mean to us today? As what we mentioned, right? In your age, you are going to make a lot of major decisions. What kind of school are you going to study? What kind of major are you going to choose? And then later on, where are you going to work, right? And where are you going to live? Whom are you going to get married? All these decisions, you have your own idea. But all the decisions eventually will affect your relation with God, either positive or negative. So besides we have our personal preference, we have to reserve the final decision to God. That's called we show our reverence to God. I like this job. Sometimes it's easy to judge if there is a two job offering. One has to cannot keep Sabbath. Another can keep Sabbath. Even though the one keeps Sabbath, the pay is lower. And the one who cannot keep Sabbath, the pay is higher. But we know God's will is very clear. But sometimes two jobs, both of them can keep Sabbath. And which one are you going to take? Of course, you can look into the potential of your job. But eventually, you still have to pray, right? God, which job do you want me to take? We try to deny ourselves and accept his authority over us. And that is the way we show our reverence to God. Location the same. We mentioned so many times. Right? When every major decision we really honor God, after you live your whole life, you will never regret anything. Because all the God's will is good and perfect. God. So Jesus Christ's example demonstrated in the prayer of the Gethsemane. Let's see John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So Jesus came to the world. Actually, he was serving God as a human being. But to him, it was so clear, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." The will of him who sent me is God. As a human being, I'm doing God's work, so I'm doing God's will. So today, sometimes if you look into the church, how come so many problems, right? So many confusion. But if you trace back to the root of the problem, only two. The first is ignorance. The second is sinful nature. All the problem eventually rooted in these two. Ignorance. Ignorance means your understanding of God's will is different from my understanding of God's will. So everybody loving God, but everybody claim they understand God's will. They insist on God's will. So the church confusion. That's because of ignorance about God's will. And the second is, even If we really know God's will, we still want to insist our own way, and then it becomes sinful nature. Right. So in order to let the church become harmonious, the first way we have to resolve ignorance. Everybody truly understand God's will. How can we do it? Two ways. The first way is understand the Bible in depth. Because all the God's will is hidden in the Bible. If we don't understand the Bible in depth, sometimes we guide the church direction, it will be wrong. For example, one of the church, during the time of purchasing the chapel, there are two group of people. One group of people coming from particular country. Another group of people coming from different country. And they have a different view. The first group of people say, we have to write down all the contribution amount and name on the board. And the second group of people say, no, we should not write down any name of the people who contribute the money. What is the rationale behind? The group of people proclaim, if you write down the name and the amount they contribute, a lot of people, even they don't want to contribute the money, they will contribute. Why? Because their name is there, and the amount is there. Oh. This is one of the rationale. But the second group of people say, no. Why? Because we confuse money. It's between you and God. It's in secret. It's not for personal glory. And you cannot make the people feel the shame. So that's the reason he wants to contribute the money and make himself well known before a public. So, you see, when we understand the Bible in depth, we know how to guide the church in the right direction. So this is the first way to resolve the ignorance. After 1948, the TJC in China lose connection with the race party of TJC. So in certain part, there are some kind of practices is very strange. When they pray, they have to facing the west side. Before they die, they have to perform the foot washing. Why? Because once you wash, the whole body clean. Right. And then they have a so-called holy water. They have to collect holy water right after the baptism. So all these kind of practices, all because of lacking understanding of the knowledge of Bible. So the first one to resolve the ignorance is study the truth in depth. And also also Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit give us spiritual wisdom. So TJC is the most difficult place to preach, and it's the most easy place to preach too. I heard the Africa brother commented in this way. I was very curious. What does that mean? He said TJC is a church filled by the Holy Spirit. If you preach according to your own will, the Holy Spirit in everybody's heart will never move. When you listen, no. The Holy Spirit will not move you. Right? So you know the person speaks by his own will. But if the person really speaks by the movement of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit inside us will be moved too. Because this message comes from the movement of the Holy Spirit. The message will move you too. And you know all. This comes from God. So TJC is the most difficult place to preach. You cannot preach by your own idea. Sometimes even if you copy the sermon from other denomination, people can feel it. Because in other denomination, they don't have Holy Spirit, so they have their particular way to preach, to arouse the morale of the church member. But that may not be from Holy Spirit. So this is a very difficult place to preach.
So once a person receives the Holy Spirit, by filled by the Holy Spirit, there is a movement of the Holy Spirit, then you know what is the guidance of the Holy Spirit to resolve the ignorance. The second is sinful nature. How about sinful nature? The sinful nature needs the power of the Holy Spirit. After we pray and pray, filled by the Holy Spirit, we become the partaker of divine nature, right? According to 1 Peter. Once we become the partaker of divine nature, and then our personal sinful nature will gradually being reduced because the divine nature become more and more. The sinful nature become less and less. Then we will not insist our own personal opinion. So Jesus Christ, I come here not to do my own will, but to do God's will. Because of this, it's so essential. It's so essential to have the theological training in depth. You know, a few years ago, we have only high school student spiritual convocation, 3-4 years, for 4 days and finish. And later on, we find out, nowadays, you are facing the challenges in high school, in college, in order that you well prepared. So the church start to have a high school theological seminar. So if you attend all different kind of seminar and training, high school, NYTS, NYTS graduate, right? And then on RETS, and then all different type of training, your understanding of the Bible will be in depth. When you understand the Bible in depth, and later on you become the church council member, you are guiding the church, then your leadership will be in accordance to God's will. But if a person is blind about the teaching of the Bible, then how are you going to guide the church? How are you going to make decisions about church direction? If we are blind about the teaching of the Bible, there's no way you can guide the church in the right direction. No. So, Jesus Christ saying is very important. I come to do the will of God. Now, next one. Luke chapter 6. Verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain and prayed and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 13. When it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostle. Look, verse 13, Jesus Christ chose 12 apostles to become the successor of him. Right? But you look into verse 12, what did he do? He prayed all night. Why? He needs God's guidance. He needs God's movement to choose the right person to become the apostle. So you see, when Jesus wanted to choose people, he respect the will of the Father. You know, as a human being, right? We know the person's outer appearance, but we cannot know a person's heart. When Saul did something against God's will and God proclaimed, your kingship finished, and God wants to anoint another one to become a king, right? And Samuel went to Jesse's house. He saw a person, or looked like a king, must be very tall, looked like masculine, right? Looked like a king, and he intended to anoint him. Even Samuel was a prophet, but he still had human weakness. Look at people's outer appearance, and he wanted to anoint him as king. And then God told Samuel, no. Men look people from outer appearance. God look people into their heart, right? And then Samuel asked one more question. Do you have any other son? He said, yes, we have another one. Oh, David. He was taking care of the sheep and asked him to come back. Oh. And what the Bible say? David was a person who after the heart of God. Which means David, even though he was very young, Everything he wants to do, the only thing he wants to make sure is this is the way of God. So no wonder God loves him. So no wonder God wants to anoint him as a king. So today, how come the church has so many problems sometimes? Because we use the wrong person. And how come we use the wrong person? Because when we make a decision of choose the church council, choose Paul, we are not really pray for God's guidance. We are not really respect God. So that is the reason. Wrong person sit in the wrong position cause a lot of wrong problem. So what does it mean I serve God, I show reverence to God? When we try to make a personal decision, we have to put aside personal preference. We have to put aside personal tie, personal relationship, personal mutual benefit. Because this is not politics. In the church, we are not playing the politics. No. So we have to kneel down and pray and pray and pray and ask Holy Spirit to guide us to move everybody's heart. So in the final decision, when we try to vote, right? The church emphasizes the democratic system. When the church emphasizes democratic system, don't forget, previously the Bible say the highest decision body is what? Congregation meeting. Right now this sentence has been removed. Because some of church members say, look, why you don't honor us? The highest decision body is us. But it's wrong. The highest decision is God. Then when we have a congregation meeting, we have to ask everybody, you pray, and when you vote, try to understand God's will. You vote upon God's will, not because of your own personal preference. That's called democratic system in the church. Not emphasize on particular person's preference, but emphasize on what does God want us to do. Let's pray for it. Right? So in the church, even if you look into Moses, right? Even Moses chose up Joshua to train him for 40 years. But in the last moment, who decided to become a successor of Moses? If you read the book of Numbers, it was God himself. It was not Moses. So in the church, we are not used a person because of personal reason. I'm very close to him, so I use him. He treats me very well, so I use him. We have a special connection, so we use him. We have a family background, so we have him with him. No, that's not the right way. The right way, we use him because we understand God wants to use him. That was the reason Jesus Christ prayed for all nine. Later on, you may become RE teacher. You may become head teacher. You may become RE coordinator. When you reach to assume the post as a RE coordinator, you have to make decision which teacher teach which class. Please, when you do it, you need to have a very neutral heart and pray hard and ask God to understand God's will and make appointment. Don't do it because of personal reason. This person don't respect me. Next time I just kick him out. That's not the right reason. No. The right reason is because I arranged the teacher here. That will benefit the class the most. I will arrange the person here. That will benefit the church the most. What we consider is what will benefit the church the most. It's not because personally, anything personal. So this is the second example. How we show our reverence to God. We show our reverence to God through long prayer to understand Him, His will, and ask for His guidance. Now, John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and finish his work. It sounds a little bit difficult to understand, right? My food is to do the will of God and finish his work. Oh. So what does that mean? Are you saying Jesus don't have to eat material food? Is he my food? So what does that mean? There are two kinds of satisfaction. The first satisfaction is you have a meal, eat the food. You feel content, right? You know, what kind of meal is the most delicious? What kind of food is the most delicious food? What kind of food is the most delicious one? Hey, how about you? Yes. Ice cream. Oh, then how about breakfast ice cream, lunch ice cream, dinner ice cream? No. It's fine, right? Oh. Well, the most delicious food you can try out. If all your mother cook are no good, right? This no good, that no good. There's one delicious food. After you fast for 3 days, everything is good. You know? You try. If you don't believe, you try. After you fast 3 days, you sit there. Oh. You look every good. Your mouth starts watering. Very good. Right? This is first satisfaction, physically. And how about your heart? How about your heart? My food is to do the will of God. Means in my heart, when I can do God's will, my heart feels so satisfied. Oh. You know, one day you fall in love with somebody. What is the satisfaction? Right? You can do something to fulfill the wish of the one you love. That will be your satisfaction. Surely. One day you feel in love with somebody, you can try. Oh, right? Somebody just like you, right? Like ice cream. And you purchase the 31st ice cream. And you look the one you love. Oh, eating there. And that will be your joy. Really? Oh, that will be your joy. So somebody, one day you look somebody, enjoy it, and you feel very happy about the person who enjoyed that food. Probably you are really loving that person very much. So, when we feel that today I do God's will, my heart feels very joyful. Look into one of the incidents. Why do God's will or make you become joyful? Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And they depart from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Look, the apostle was persecuted by the council. They even been beaten up by the council. And they command them, you should not preach Jesus Christ anymore, right? If we were the apostle, how do you feel? Probably our heart feel grumbling, right? Lord, I preach you your gospel. How come you never protect me? Oh, I've been beaten up. Next time, I'm not going to do it. Right? But when the apostle, they left the council, they feel very joyful. How come they feel very joyful? Because God considered me worthy to suffer for him. Oh, so that suffering become very meaningful. Once it become very meaningful, it become what? Source of your joy. Oh, right. So David, joyful life doesn't necessarily mean you need to have a lot of material. Live a joyful life means you need God. And once you do everything for the sake of God, and that will make your life become very joyful, very meaningful. Oh, that's different kind of satisfaction. No, different kind of joy. Oh, so, when we show our reverence to God, show our respect to God, that doesn't mean our life will be
very painful. We suffer all the times. We are always down, like a depressed. No. When you really are, really love God, it will become your joy. Holy Spirit will comfort you. Your life will be very joyful. Now, the Father who dwells in me does the work. John chapter 14. This is the highest principle of serving God or living our life. John chapter 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I spoke to you do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. The Father who dwells in me does the work. That's the highest goal of our servitude. Yes, we are doing something, but it is the Father who inside me doing it. It's just like what? Hardware and software. The software inside me is God. And I only provide hardware. My feet go there is because software command me, because of God. My mouth speak is because software inside. God command me to speak this. I do this all because God command me. So God dwells inside me to do his own business through me. That will be the highest goal of our servitude and our life. If we really reach to that kind of degree, we really show our reverence to God. So Jesus Christ set an example for us how to show reverence to God. And Jesus Christ teaches us in order to show respect and fear and reverence to God, what should we do? Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciple also, he said to them, whoever desired to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. You see? Jesus Christ followed God. And then he commanded his disciples to follow me. If Jesus Christ did not follow God, then he was not qualified to ask people to deny themselves to follow him. So this is a very important principle. If you are the head teacher, right? We don't follow God's will, there is no way we can ask the teacher follow our decision. Then you are going to see the church is going to have confusion. The reason we are able to ask the teacher to follow our decision is because we follow God's will. So Paul say, imitate me. And what is the next sentence? Just like I imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take away the little part, then we don't have to imitate Paul. You are not God. You are not Jesus Christ. But we have to imitate Jesus Christ, Paul, because he imitated Jesus Christ. Right? And Jesus Christ right now is invisible. And to the generation of Paul, Paul is visible. So how do you know what kind of life it looks like? You just look into Paul, because he is the follower of Jesus Christ. So if you follow him, actually you follow Jesus Christ. So this is called our show our reverence to God. Deny ourselves. So in order to show our reverence to God, we need to have a self-denial, that spirit. So if you want to really worship God, you have to prepare to what? To change yourself. If you are not ready to change yourself, I'm not ready to change myself, I cannot progress spiritually. If we really want to progress ourselves spiritually, want to become closer to God, then we have to be prepared. I have to change myself. Deny myself is the beginning of self-transformation. And that is the way to show our respect to God, our reverence to God. So later on,
when we encounter every situation, we should not emphasize my will, my viewpoint, my feeling, my point of view. That's not most important. We emphasize the most important is what is God's will? How will God feel? What will this affect the church? Or benefit the church? When we start to do this, that we start to show our reverence to God. And that's critical important when we try to live a godly life or to serve God. Let's pray in silence.